Hi, it's Chuck Jaffe, host of the Navigator podcast from the Active Investment Company Alliance, and I'm also the host of a weekday podcast called Money Life with Chuck Jaffe. On Tuesday, March the 16th, we featured Will Rind of Granite Shares in our Money Life Market Call. Because the interview was focused on the Granite Shares HIPS U.S. High Income ETF, which invests entirely in closed-end funds and business development companies, we wanted to make sure you got a chance to listen in. So here it is as a bonus episode of the Navigator podcast. Enjoy. Welcome to The Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for that informs their buys and sells, what they see happening broadly in the market, and how they are putting it all together. Now, my guest has been on the show before. Will Rind is Chief Executive Officer at Granite Shares. But the last time he was here, he was talking about the Granite Shares X-Out U.S. Large Cap ETF. Today, we're going to focus on a different Granite Shares product. It is HIPS, ticker H-I-P-S. It is the Granite Shares U.S. High Income ETF, which basically devotes its portfolio to business development companies and closed-end funds. If you want to learn more about the firm, it's graniteshares.com. Will Rind, thanks for joining me again on Money Life.
Chuck, thank you for having me. Pleasure.
So we always start with methodology. And in this case, I have two questions about your methodology. One is the obvious, okay, we need to know what goes into, like, what are you looking for in a BDC? What are you looking for in a closed-end fund? But also, we need to know why BDCs and closed-end funds. I mean, there are plenty of funds that are designed to deliver high income, but most of them are doing it with junk bonds and other things rather necessarily than BDCs and closed-end funds. So why this space? And then what do you do to make your money in this space?
Great question. So let's start with the ticker code. The ticker code is HIPS, and HIPS stands for High Income Pass-Through Securities. So the clue right there is in the name. And what we focus on is a section of the market that some of your listeners will be very familiar with, but for a lot of people looking in the income space, it's not the first thing that comes to mind. And pass-through securities, immediately what they have that sets them apart from, say, regular dividend-paying stocks or bonds, is they're not subject to corporation tax. So automatically, you're situated from a better perspective in terms of income generation. And they have to, by law, distribute substantially all of their income to shareholders. So the idea behind HIPS is that in today's interest rate environment, I've talked about an income crisis that we're experiencing here in the country. You have to generate a higher level of income than perhaps you've been used to in the past. And the traditional strategies, i.e. dividend paying funds and or junk bonds, they're just not going to get you there in terms of real after-tax income. And so we've got to go to somewhere like pass-through securities to generate that level of income that we're going to need. And so the idea behind HIPS is it's one of the highest yielding ETFs in the market, but the idea is to generate a high level of income. But crucially, my three most important things for income investors is, number one, it's about the amount of income, i.e. the yield that's generated, the consistency of that income, and then lastly, the tax efficiency of that income. And that's what we're trying to do with HIPS.
So if it's all about the yield, I mean, we're talking closed-end funds. Where does the discount play in? How do you factor in discounts? Because obviously in 2020, we saw this massive widening of closed-end fund discounts. For some people, that signaled it's a great time to buy, everything's on sale. For others, that signaled, ooh, there could be some trouble here. So how do you parse things out like that when yield is your primary focus?
Yeah, so great question. So we're looking for securities that have a high level of income. That's obviously most important given that we're running an income ETF. But the second most important thing is we're looking for a low volatility in the sector. So what we do is we start with a portfolio of 60 securities. So we, at this time, is equally weighted amongst closed-end funds, BDCs, REITs, and MLPs. And then we're selecting securities with the highest level of income and the lowest volatility in their respective sectors. And then we bring those all together to form the final portfolio under the minimum variance model. And so with the closed-end funds, you're exactly right. Another factor that we look at, which is specific to closed-end funds, is the discount. So we want to look at, obviously, we want to buying closed-end funds or selecting closed-end funds that are trading at a discount to their NAV. And that was something, obviously, that that we saw a lot of last year. So with those four, the aim is to give a diversified portfolio across those four sectors so that, yes, you are generating a high level of income, but you're diversified across multiple income streams.
It's a strategy that's been in place for a while, and it has tended to be a little feast or famine. You've had times when it's been top 10%, such as year-to-date this year. You've had times when it's been near the bottom of its peer group, if you're using Morningstar as your measuring agency, like last year. Is there a reason why either the investments that you're holding, the structure, what have you, maybe it's the peer group, that the performance is rocky at times and better at times than the competition?
This is a big sort of bugbear of mine and a lot of my fellow sort of peers in the industry, that if people are looking at what I call stack and rank services like Morningstar, but data providers, they obviously make their money in terms of categorizing you in a particular way. So if you look at our particular fund, in this case, HIPS, we're put into a category which we don't think represents what HIPS actually does. So in other words, it's in an asset allocation category. And somebody looking for income is not going to find HIPS in that particular category. And so this is a big problem that affects a lot of people in the industry, including us. And therefore, the funds that you're being ranked against are funds within that category. And if it's not the right category, then you're either going to, you know, do very well or you're going to do very poorly, but that's fundamentally completely out of your control. So, you know, what I focus on with HIPS is the level of income that we generate. So currently we generate just over 8% per annum. That's completely net of fees, obviously. So that income is net of any fees. And so from that perspective, it really adds as a good complement to any portfolio or any strategy where people are trying to generate income on a consistent basis.
Well, let's talk about examples of where you're going with the fund. If yield is what matters most, although you want to get a limit on volatility, which you've noted is another key concern for you, what's a poster child for the methodology on the closed-end side and on the BDC side?
Yeah, so maybe coming back to, you know, the performance that you mentioned, that you know, last year was like a tale of two halves. So you obviously had the first half of the year where, you know, the market sold off very aggressively, and a high level income, you know, fund like HIPS sold off was no exception to that. I think where I would try and make the point is that when you compare it to other pure play income generators, so for example, if it was a pure play MLP strategy or a pure play BDC strategy, HIPS would have most likely done better on the way down. In other words, have less of a drawdown. But then when the market recovered in the back end of the year, you know, a lot of these pass-through securities, they really do well in a market recovery situation because of their level of income, but also the sectors that they're exposed to, and particularly coming back up. So in terms of the portfolio, you know, right now we have a number of securities in each particular sector, but I'd say the balance of focus for the fund definitely last year focused or shifted more to the closed-end fund space, and that's the dominant sort of sector that we hold right now in the fund.
And what would be a good example of the kind of closed-end fund that passes muster for you?
Yeah, so on the closed-end side, in terms of poster child, would be Apple Hospitality REIT. Again, given that we are a strategy that's about generating income, this was one particular security that last year stopped paying its distributions. And so obviously in an income fund, it's very difficult if you have, you know, one of your constituents that stops paying out any income. And obviously for people that may not be familiar, this is a REIT that owns hotel properties. So major brands like Marriott, Hilton, Hyatt, et cetera. And obviously everyone, I'm sure, understand what happened with hotels last year. But nevertheless, you know, that's why we have this methodology within HITS. That's why we have an index and rules that are based around the security selection. So we have a security that's not paying any income. When there's a rebalance, and that rebalance, the last rebalance we went through was actually the end of the year last year. those kind of securities will be eliminated and new ones will be put in that do pay a high level of income.
In this case, Apple Hospitality REIT, APLE, is a poster child for the methodology. It's not a poster child for like, hey, this is what we're going to have in this fund. It's for this is what we're going to wind up kicking out of this fund.
Exactly.
What's one that is in the fund that kind of exemplifies what you'd get on the good side?
On the good side, or at least the kind of security, an example of kind of security that we'd have would be something like Golub Capital BDC. And again, looking for BDCs for any pass-through securities, but if it's in the BDC space, something with a high level of income, but with a low volatility respective or relative to its sector and the other securities in the portfolio. So that's GBDC is the ticker code.
Yeah, so GBDC, Golub Capital BDC. Well, now we're going to get your quick and dirty take on some closed-end funds and BDCs that my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
Let's talk about something important.
And, well, we're talking about investing. That's always important. We're having that conversation with Will Rhine, the Chief Executive Officer at Granite Shares, which runs HIPS, the Granite Shares HIPS, which is, as you point out, high-income pass-through securities, U.S. high-income ETF. Learn more at graniteshares.com. Quick and Dirty is where we take our audience requests for opinions on various securities. We're going to start today with a request we got, and I have to point out, when we start dealing with BDCs and closed-end funds, it's like not necessarily all the people who write in all the time. It's a lot of new folks. But Barry in Tucson, Arizona wants to know about BGB. That's the Blackstone GSO Strategic Credit BDC.
Okay, so that's one of our holdings. This particular one is, I would say, probably at the lower end in terms of the amount of income that it generates. So generating 6.02% as of Friday, but certainly something that ranked well in the methodology, given the fact that it has an income threshold that we like and a lower volatility.
And I said it was a BDC. This, of course, is a closed-end fund. I'm curious, because you talked about how right now you tend to be a little more focused on closed-end funds. They seem to be finding the right thing. When you give me the little caution there about, well, it's one of the lower earners, does that mean that given the methodology, at some point this might be falling off?
Well, it was that the reason why we own more closed-end funds at the moment was due to the volatility last year in the market. So closed-end funds relative to the other sectors of the pass-through world had a significantly lower volatility. So the index is very much shifting towards not only high level of income, and 6.2% in this environment, by the way, is still a high level of income, but shifted much more to the lower volatility side.
Okay. So It is a buy, a bit of a cautious buy, on Blackstone GSO Strategic Credit, ticker symbol BGB. Bye. Next, for Fred in Newington, Connecticut, it's Western Asset Emerging Markets Income, EMD.
Yeah, so another closed-end fund here, Chuck. This time we got a distribution rate of 7.45%, so obviously a little bit more than the Blackstone one we just talked about, but that was, or that is included in the current portfolio, and potentially something to consider with a weaker dollar, given its exposure to the emerging markets.
So again, we are talking about something where you want to be looking at it for your portfolio. It's Western Asset Emerging Markets Income, EMD.
Either gets on board or he gets left behind.
Let's move over to BDCs now, starting with a request from Felipe in Gainesville, Florida. I'll point out, it's the only request he's ever sent in. He sent me one request based on this interview being announced. He wants to know about Bain Capital Specialty Finance, BCSF.
Yeah, this is the second highest distribution rate of the ones that I picked. This one's coming in at pretty significant 9.08% as of Friday. So pretty high level of income there. But again, you know, scored in terms of our index from not only just a high level of income, but low volatility relative to the other BDCs in the sector.
So low volatility, high income.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
That's a buy on BCSF, Bain Capital Specialty Finance. Jeff in San Jose gets our next request. It's one of the big BDCs, Ares Capital Corp, ARCC.
Yeah, and ARCC, again, pretty impressive distribution rates. This time, not quite as high as the Bain Capital Specialty Finance, but coming in at 8.62%. So still a very respectable level of income being generated. And, of course, that low volatility relative to the other BDCs in the sector.
Let's make some money.
So it's good news, making some money on ARCC, Ares Capital Corp. And Jeff in San Jose shares our last request with Richard in Chula Vista, California. They both wanted to know about PSEC, that's Prospect Capital Corp.
Well, I know you saved this one for last because coincidentally it's the highest level of income on the list here. So this particular BDC is coming in at a pretty respectable 9.61%, which is definitely the highest out of the five that we've just talked about. But again, high level of income and a low volatility relative to the sector.
Well, I didn't actually look to see if I was saving it for last because it had the highest highest level of yield. But the important thing here is high level of yield, but not so high that you're worried about it and taking it off your list. It's still on the list. It's still a fund that you a BDC that you like.
That's right. Yeah, still very, very much a BDC that we own in the portfolio.
So we finish on a high note with another buy, this one on PSEC, Prospect Capital Corp.
Buy, buy, buy. Is that all you can think about?
Well, all we could think about during Quick and Dirty was buys because we had five of them right there. And now we've got one more good buy to talk about. That's the one where we say, Will Rind, goodbye. But thanks so much for joining us. This was great. I hope you come back and do this with us again.
Thank you, Chuck. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
That's Will Rind, Chief Executive at Granite Shares. GraniteShares.com, the website. They're on Twitter at Granite Shares. He's on Twitter at Will Rind, R-H-I-N-D. And again, we're talking about HIPS, H-I-P-S, the Granite Shares HIPS U.S. High Income ETF. We'll be back to wrap up today's show.